This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay. So we're all familiar with the episode of the Meraglim, where they came back with a bad report about Eretz Yisrael, and they tell the Klal Yisrael, Eretz Lechelas Yoshvehi, it's a bad land, it's a land that consumes its inhabitants, it's a land that grows giants, not a good place, not a place where you want to be. And the reaction of Klal Yisrael is not positive. Klal Yisrael's reaction, the Pasuk says, Vayivku ha'am balayla hahu, they cried on that night. And Chazal finds great criticism in that which Klal Yisrael cried on that night. In fact, Chazal say that because Klal Yisrael cried for no reason on that night, Hashem established that night for all generations as a night of crying for Klal Yisrael. And that night, of course, we know is a night of Tisha B'Av. And Hashem said, you cried on that night because of the impending entrance into the land of Israel. Okay, the time will come when you'll have to be exiled from the land of Israel. So the Maral tries to understand the deeper meaning behind the fact
that's interesting too, in today's Daf Yomi, they mentioned they mentioned the Meraglim also, I think.
Right.
In today's Daf Yomi.
Oh, very good. So what's the deeper understanding behind the fact that the Meraglim, that the Klal Yisrael cried, and therefore they don't have a share in Eretz Yisrael? So the Maral explains, first of all, that everything naturally wants to return to its source. Everything is drawn to its source. So if Klal Yisrael really had a deep connection to Eretz Yisrael, how could they bring themselves to cry over the land? The fact that they're able to cry over the land means there's a certain disconnect between them and Eretz Yisrael. Because if they truly loved Eretz Yisrael, how could they come to reaction of crying over it, or even criticizing it? You know, something that you love, or someone who you love, you may know they have certain faults, but you sort of overlook it. You know, like it says in Mishlei, look at number 5. There's an idea of Yaakov Pishoyim Techasa Ava. Love, you know, love conquers all. There's an expression, love conquers all. Or as Shlomo HaMelech says, all infractions are covered up by love. Something that you really love, you know that they're not perfect, but you sort of overlook it. You're willing to overlook, you don't see it. So if Klal Yisrael really loved Eretz Yisrael, or they liked Eretz Yisrael, then how could they bring themselves to have such a reaction? Especially there's an idea, you know, wherever you grow up, you like that area. You know, it could be a place that everyone hates people from that city, from that location. But you like it, because that's where you grow up. You know, the place, a person's home, they like. You know, it brings good feelings, warm feelings. So if Klal Yisrael really had a connection to the land of Eretz Yisrael, how could they bring themselves to cry over Eretz Yisrael? It must be there was some type of disconnect between them and the land. And therefore Hashem said, you're going to cry, you have to be exiled from the land.
They were crying, obviously, because they didn't want to go there.
Right.
Because they loved the, you know, because they
Because, yeah, the fact that they cried, they show they were disconnected from the land. Let's look at the Maral Insa. Let's see a few lines here. He says, V'oid, number one, Ki kol hadvarim hativim mishtoikakim el makamim hativi. All natural things yearn for their natural place. V'im hayo ha'aretz liYisrael makam tivi. If Eretz Yisrael would have been the natural home of Klal Yisrael, v'hayu mishtoikakim el ha'aretz, and they were yearned for the land, hayo nishar zen nitzchi, this would have remained eternal for the Jewish people. Aval hayo kan ha'epech, but here it was just the opposite. Shebachu b'chiyah shalchinam, they cried for nothing. V'lay ratu lavay ha'aretz, they didn't want to come to the land. L'chein morazeh, this demonstrates, she'ein ha'aretz makom hativi liYisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is not the natural place of Klal Yisrael. U'lekach lo hayu nisharim sham, and therefore they cannot remain there. And he goes on to quote the Gemara in Soita, that says, kichein makom al yoshveh. Every place has a certain charm to those who live in it. You know, look, you know, the houses in Queens are very small, but people who live here, they like it. You know, they say, nothing like Queens. We can go to a different neighborhood, you know, the houses are nicer. Doesn't matter. This is where you live. You like it. So if Klal Yisrael really had a love for Eretz Yisrael, how could they bring themselves to cry over it?
But how did they? They didn't know. They were never there. All they heard was Meraglim badmouthed. So the way I somehow interpret it, they still were like a slave mentality. I mean, they listened to whatever people, you know, those Meraglim told them. They listened, you know, they were like the same way they were used to listen to the mitzvah when they were making them work.
Is that why Jesus also?
It's for nothing, right?
They never really tried. I mean, they tried when we a little bit, a few times, to rebel a little bit when they were avodim, but you would think that, you know, a lot, if they all rebelled against the Mitzrayim, they could have gotten out sooner. It was just their mentality. They had like such a...
What he's saying is that really Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael have a deep-seated natural connection on a very deep level. It's their homeland. It's like it's their birthright. So the fact they're able to cry showed that there was some kind of disconnect, inherent disconnection between them and the land. Hashem had to... What did you say then?
Well, the moral goes to explain why they cry. I mean, after he says it's baseless, which is confusing, no? They didn't want to.
It's not a reason why. The fact that they're able to cry demonstrated that they really were not connected to land. They didn't have enough of a connection to land. So Hashem said, okay, you're not connected to land, so you don't deserve to be on the land. But the idea is that something that you like, something that you love, you can't criticize, you can't be upset about. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that Rish Lakish was once traveling, and he discusses a certain language that he picked up on his travels. And in the location that he traveled in, they called, the Gemara says, a kala ninfi. Ninfi. Why? We're going to see. And they called a tarnagol, a rooster, sechvi, like we say in the first Baruch Hashanah of Birchas Hashachar, nosin la sechvi vina. And the Gemara says, look, why did they call a kala ninfi? Amri Shlakish number 2, Kishalachti Litchum Kanashraya. When I came to this location of Kanashraya, Hayukaran Lakala Ninfi. They called the Kala a Ninfi. Ulatarnagol Sechvi. They called the Tarnagol Sechvi. Why? Lakala Ninfi. Micro, what does the Pasuk mean? Yefei Noif Mesois Kalaretz. You know, there's something called Yom Yerushalayim. But really, Yom Yerushalayim is every Monday. Every Monday is Yom Yerushalayim. Why is every Monday Yom Yerushalayim? So every Monday in the Shir Shoyom, you speak about the greatness of Yerushalayim. Look in number 3. This is from the Shir Shoyom of a Yom Sheni of a Monday. We say, Shir Mizmar Levnei Karach, Gadol Hashem, Hashem is great, Umuhula Ma'oid, and very praiseworthy. Be'ir Elokeinu, in the city of God. What's the city of God? Yerushalayim. Har Kodesh, His holy mountain. Yefei Noif. What does Yefei Noif mean? Yefei means beautiful sight, the most beautiful sight, the most beautiful, fairest of locations. Yefei no, fairest of locations. So they called a kala ninfi because Yushalayim is called nof. And therefore, the point of it is, Yushalayim is like our kala. It's like a kala. The relationship between the Jewish people and Yushalayim is like a kala. Husband and wife, chasen and kala, more than husband and wife. Chasen and kala, you know, when you're chasen and kala, you don't even see the flaws of the kala. You know, people try to say, you know, you hear when you're going out, she's this and this and that. She might have one, but when a chasen and kala, they don't even see each other's faults. Al kol pishayim techase ahava. Love conquers all. Right? You don't see it. So Yerushalayim and the Jewish people are like a chasen and kala. A chasen should not be able to see the faults of her kala. When the Meraglim came back with this bad report, if Klal Yisrael truly felt about Yerushalayim that she's the kala, how could they even feel sad? They should have, love should have conquered everything. They should have had such an ava for it that they should not have been affected by it. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, you know, nowadays, you get called for maftir, you don't have a choice of what you're going to read. You read what it says in the calendar, you read what it says, you know, pa'achrimos, you learn this, da'alos, you learn this, shlach, you learn this. But in times of the Gemara, you choose, you know, you could learn Yoshua, Shofar, whatever you wanted. So there's a guy, he gets called up for the maftir, and he decides to read Yirmiyah. Now, in Yirmiyah, it talks about a lot of criticisms of Yerushalayim. So he reads, the Gemara tells us, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hoida es Yerushalayim es toyavayseha. Go tell Yerushalayim her abominations. So Rabbi Elazar got upset. What are you trying to uncover the abominations of Yerushalayim for? You know, before you uncover Yerushalayim's abominations, let's check out your mother. Let's see her abominations. You know, what are you busy trying to uncover the abominations of Yerushalayim? And they checked into him, and Taka, he did not have pure lineage. The fact that he was able to choose pinked that haftarah that spoke about the faults of Yerushalayim, that showed there was some fault with him. So the idea is that when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the attitude should be, you love it so much that you can't see fault, you can't hear fault, you can't speak anything bad, you can't listen to anything bad about it.
Well, couldn't have been also the fact that they were influenced by the Arab Rav too, and the Arab Rav obviously were not, they were just, I don't know if they were even considered like Gerim. But they were just hanging around with them, and they could have had, no, it's no good, no good. And, you know, and they said, yeah.
Rabbi, one of the things that I always found interesting, that the Meraglim were not just your ordinary Joe. They were the princes of the different Shetim. And if you have a situation like that, this is the person, I presume, even when they were still in Egypt, that they would listen to and be influenced.
But the okay, it's a good point. I mean, certainly we understand why they're influenced. On the other hand, you know, the analogy would be, you know, you have this young man, and you know, he loves his kala, and people are saying, no, but don't you see? No, he doesn't. The obvious faults. He doesn't see. He can't see. Yep. You know, if you really love someone, you don't see it. You know, that's the point was that they did not have that deep-seated ahava. That's what the Maharal is saying, that because they didn't have that deep love, so Hashem said, you're not connected enough. You're not connected, we'll exile you from the land. That was some of the understanding of it. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, it all comes down to bitachon. They didn't have one.
Right, yeah, that's true also. Yeah, yeah. But interesting. Let's take a look. A very interesting Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Pirkei Avos speaks about the 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. Number 6. Asar Nisim Nasu L'Avoseinu Beis HaMikdash. We had 10 miracles that happened for our forefathers in the Beis HaMikdash. V'hi pila isha me'reach b'sar HaKodesh. A woman did not miscarry from the smell of any of the meat in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, they're constantly shechting, they're constantly slaughtering animals for karbanos, and sometimes it could produce a foul smell, it could harm a pregnant woman. It never happened. Okay? V'lo hisriach b'sar HaKodesh me'alam. None of the meat ever spoiled. You never saw a fly with all that meat and all the blood. You would expect there to be bugs, flies. No, never saw it. Ira carry the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol never experienced a nocturnal emission. Never became a Valkyrie on Yom Kippur. Also, v'lo kibu hagishamim shalatzei marocha. The rain never extinguished the fire on the Mizbeach. There was a certain fire on the Mizbeach that was constant. It was always, the fire never extinguished it. The rain never extinguished it. Also, there was a pillar of smoke that rose from the Mizbeach. It went straight up. The wind never made it blow off course. Okay? The wind never blew the pillar of smoke. Also, these karbanos, the Omer, the Shtei Alechem, Lechem Alpanim, never became possible. Now, this is what I want to get to. Okay, you could just imagine the Shalosh Regalim, or Yom Kippur. Everyone's crowding into, you ever, Brichas Kohanim at the Kotel, right? Packed! You can't move, you're like a sardine. Then what percent of the Jews are there? Less than 1%. Imagine, all of Klal Yisrael are in the Azara, and they need to bow down. So the Mishnah says, Omdim Tzifufim. They stood cramped like sardines, but when they bow down, Umishtachavim Revachim, they bow down with a lot of space. Okay? So what was the miracle? The miracle was that when it came down for the Moedim, they had room.
We spoke about this morning.
That's right.
Yeah, but we said this morning too that they didn't complain.
That's right.
Even though there was no space, they didn't complain. Right. It wasn't.
Very good. So look at the next thing. No snake or scorpion ever damaged anyone. And then it says, no one ever said to his friend, it's too cramped here in Yerushalayim. So the Chassam Sofer says, he asks an obvious question. What do you mean no one ever complained that it was too cramped in Yerushalayim? It was too cramped in Yerushalayim. It just said that when they stood in the Azara, they stood like sardines, right? And a miracle happened that they were able to bow down. Yeah, fine. But that means when they weren't bowing, it was cramped. So then, how could the Mishnah say that when they were in Yerushalayim, it was spacious? What do you mean? It wasn't spacious. It was cramped.
They left the same day.
What?
They left the same day.
They left. But it says, nobody ever said it's too cramped to sleep here. That means they were sleeping there, right? So Chassam Sofer said, that's what Yossi is saying. Yeah. Chassam Sofer says, it doesn't say that in Yerushalayim, it was not too cramped. It was too cramped. They when they were lodging in the hotel, you know, it was too cramped. The Mishnah doesn't say it wasn't too cramped. The Mishnah says, V'loy amar adam l'chaver. No one ever said it was too cramped. The miracle was no one complained about it, Chassam Sofer says, because they had so much ahava for Eretz Yisrael that they didn't see anything wrong with it, you know. Sometimes you go to a good drasha, you go to a good tish, whatever it is, it's cramped, it's packed, you can't breathe, but it's so enjoyable, you don't even realize. So the love of Yerushalayim was so great that even though they were like sardines, but they didn't complain because they had such an ahava to be able to be in Yerushalayim that they didn't complain. So I wrote down on the book here, you know, I heard from Rabbi Reisen, always says over from his Rabbi Rav Pam, that Rav Pam said, you know, people come back from Eretz Yisrael and people, you know, you ask them, how's your trip? The weather, it was lousy. You know, the people. That's how you talk about your kala? If you love Yerushalayim, how could you criticize it? How could you say anything bad about it? Maybe the weather was lousy, but if you really love Eretz Yisrael, you really love Yerushalayim, how could you talk about its faults? Yeah, the milk wasn't good, you know, the chicken isn't as good as in America. This is your kala. You know, this is, if you really love it, so then, you know, you don't focus on its faults. You know, the buses, they're too cramped. There's no air conditioning on the buses. You know, you should love it so much you don't even see the faults of it. You know? Here, I put down, look, he writes, this is from Rabbi Reisen's book. He says, Rav Pam often said that it hurt his ears when he heard people talking about Yerushalayim in a negative manner. It would bother him when someone would ask his friend, how is your visit to Yerushalayim? And his friend would respond, the weather was lousy, or it was so rainy. You know, people go to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. How's the Yom Tov? The food wasn't good. That's how you talk about your kala? You know, a chassan and kala, she doesn't know how to cook in the beginning. She burns everything, but the chassan doesn't care, you know? He loves her, he overlooks it. So what if the food wasn't good? That's how you talk about that's how you talk about Yerushalayim? Not my kala.
No, it's a... The first time I went to Israel, I got the sick from the water. I got very sick.
No. This is not Mexico. Come on. Don't tell me you got sick from the water. You were sick. You were sick when you came to Israel.
I got sick from the water because of the minerals. Mexico, you get sick because of the amoeba in the water.
Listen, you can say whatever difference. You want. You came sick to Israel. You never got sick from the
Don't
water.
Don't compare Israel to Mexico.
Okay.
Mexico is amoeba in the water. That's what makes you sick. In Israel, the minerals are different than
Houston. No. You don't say that.
It may be better than the minerals here, just I wasn't used to it.
Okay, very interesting. In you know, there's a period of time when most of the Gedolei Yisrael lived in Tzfas. Yeah, the Arizal in Tzfas, the Beis Yosef in Tzfas, the Alshech, the Ramak, Reb Chaim Vital, Rishis Chachma, and so on. And in fact, it was so much of a concentration of Gedolei Yisrael that the Chida's grandfather, Chesed Avram, writes that the holiest city in Eretz Yisrael is Tzfas. Not only is it the holiest, it has the best air. And not only is it the best air, it's the highest point in the world. Chassam Sofer says, nah, I don't accept that. He must mean besides Yerushalayim. To write about Tzfas, it's the greatest city? How could you do that? How could you say that and put Yerushalayim aside? The Gemara says in Kedushin, you know, your famous parak, Asara Yochsin, the last parak of Kedushin is Asara Yochsin. It says, 10 types of Jews went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael after Ezra decided to rebuild the second base of Mikdash. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean, Olu mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael? Why does it say they went up? So the Gemara says, look at number 9. Asara Yochsin Olu mi Bavel. 10 types of Jews went up from Bavel. The Gemara says, why does it say they went up? Why doesn't it say they went? Why they went up? Gemara asks, my area, the Tanu Alu, why does it say they went up, mi Bavel? Nisni, it should teach, Halchu Eretz Yisrael, they went to Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, no. Milsa agavorcha kamashman. It's telling you a chiddush as an aside. What's a chiddush? The chiddush is, kedatanya, we learned in a braisa. Vekamta, this is talking about a zakei mamre. You have an old man who's a Talmud Chacham, and he paskins against the ruling of the Sanhedrin of the High Court. So what do? The kamta, he goes up, the alisa, and he goes up, to the place that Hashem chose, he goes up to the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean he goes up to the Beis HaMikdash? Why does it call he goes up? Melamed, we learn from here, Shebeis HaMikdash Gavoya Mikol Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikol Aratzos, and Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all the lands. Hear what the Gemara is saying? The Beis Hamikdash is the highest point of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all the lands.
Spiritually or physically?
True or not? Physically. Now, is this true?
No.
No.
But it's first, the lowest.
If any, the Yamamelech.
The Yamamelech is the lowest point.
Ever. Lowest point on earth.
Yeah, also, you're talking about highest point.
I know. No,
yeah, that's what he's asking.
What we're saying is, he's saying this, that it's the highest point. It's not the highest point. It's not like Mount Everest or whatever, you know, the highest.
So that's what the question is. Is that spiritually or physically?
No,
he's saying it's part of the question. If anything, it's the lowest point on earth.
The lowest for sure it is. We know by the Yamamelech. It's the lowest point on earth.
That's right.
So first of all,
that's a vadai, you know. The
Mount Everest is certainly taller than Yerushalayim, than Har Tzion. Yeah. The Catskill Mountains are taller than Har Tzion. Well, what's the Gemara saying? And besides that, even in Eretz Yisrael, Hermon is taller than Har Tzion. In fact, Rashi, you know, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Tal Hermon Hayored Al Har Tzion, like the dew of Mount Hermon that goes down onto Har Tzion. So what's the Gemara saying? Eretz Yisrael is the highest point. So says the Chassam Sofer, you know, we're used to saying, what's the top of the globe? North Pole, right? Who decided that? Well, because the Earth rotates on its axis, so the axis would have to be that pole. So the highest point is North Pole. But that's because we're ascribing that's the top of the world. But if you have a ball, really any point could be the top of the world, top of the highest point, because whatever, you know, you just turn the circle, whatever you point to on top, that's the highest point. And certainly, based on gravity, I could theoretically say I am the tallest point in the world. You're a little bit further, and you're a little bit further, because everyone sees it from their perspective. So, in other words, you basically have to pick a point. You could pick any point, and that's the highest point in the world. So, in the eyes of Hashem, what is the focal point of the universe? Eretz Yisrael. What's the focal point of Eretz Yisrael? Yerushalayim. And what's the focal point of Yerushalayim? The Beis Hamikdash. So, while in our globe you see the North Pole, in the globe of the Ribono Shel Olam, his globe is rotating on the axis of the Beis Hamikdash.
Speaking about the North Pole, last night they showed something on the news in Guatemala. There was, in the middle of one neighborhood, opened a pit hole.
Oh, I saw.
60 feet round diameter, 60 feet, and they cannot see the bottom. It's so nicely clean, beautiful cut, straight down, and they don't see it. It goes so low, he swallowed number
maybe
of good.
Maybe Korach was there.
Maybe it's part.
It's like really a hole.
It's like
earth.
You know, it's like somebody drilled
a natural hole.
Yeah. It's go all the way. They don't know. They don't know how deep.
What a person cut it? Wow.
So maybe this is the side pole now instead of the north pole. Then air doesn't go this way. Go this way.
Mash. Okay. Interesting. In the year 1836, there was a massive earthquake, right, in the city of Tzfas, Tveria, and Shechem. Completely ravaged those cities. Now, Tzfas suffered from many earthquakes. If you go to the Beis HaKfaros, it's like kever on top of kever and layer on top of layer, because they suffered so many earthquakes. And the Chassam Sofer, that was in his prime in 1836, he was asked to give a hesped on those who perished during this earthquake. You know, now we have a volcano. But in 1836, there's a big, so he gave a hesped. And in his hesped, he said, let me tell you the reason for the earthquake. Now, so if we need any proof that Yerushalayim is like a kala, here it is. You know, imagine you're a chassan and kala, and the kala sees a chassan, you know, he's talking to someone else. You know, and she starts to get jealous. So what's she going to do to her competitor? She's going to undermine her. Says Chassam Sofer, for hundreds of years, everyone is turning to the city of Tzfas. All the Gedolei Yisrael, all the tzaddikim. Comes Lag BaOmer, everyone's rushing to the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Yerushalayim is forlorn, is empty. Nobody bothers to pay her a visit. She's like the jealous kala. Yerushalayim caused the earthquake, says Chassam Sofer. Yerushalayim's jealousy of the city of Tzfas caused the earthquake. And says Chassam Sofer, what are people doing going to Tzfas on Lag BaOmer? Shouldn't go there. And abandon Yerushalayim? If I was there, I wouldn't be part of it. To abandon your kala? To go see somebody else?
So if it's like this, they should expand the border of Jerusalem so big that nobody's going to be out of Jerusalem. Everything's going to be Jerusalem, because then you can't live in other cities. You can't live anywhere else besides to live with the kala. How would you live with kala?
At least visit. At least, you know, You have a chasen and a kali, you know, you're not together yet, but you...
There's a Gemara like that, but it's with the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and not where they are. They go far, far, far out into the... like into Europe, I think they even said that. Part of Europe was part of
and Arafat, and then from Damascus...
Nair Mitzrayim, Look what he says. We'll read this one inside. Look on the second line, by the arrow. Says Chassam Sofer, you want to know what caused this earthquake? The Kinas... Yerushalayim asasazois. It was the jealousy, number 11, the second line. Says Chassam Sofer, V'kinas Yerushalayim asasazois. It was the jealousy of Jerusalem. Why? What's so great about Yerushalayim? Kisham shara shamayim. There is the gate of the heavens. You want a daven? You know, there's a whole machlokus in the Gemara whether the Kedusha, the Beis HaMikdash, Kedusha of Yerushalayim was temporary or exists forever. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's irrelevant. That's in terms of maybe Chuma, Meiser, and other halachic issues. But in terms of Tefillah, in terms of a person's Tefillah going straight up to heaven, Yerushalayim, the gateways of Yerushalayim are open until this day. The gate of heaven is in Yerushalayim. Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav, it's a city attached to the Yerushalayim Shamala. Sham Har HaMoria, there you have Har HaMoria, that's where the Akedas Yitzchak was, Akedas Yitzchak. Sham Shachav Yaakov, that's where Yaakov lay. V'chalam loy, and he had a dream, Sulam, with the ladder. Sham har beis Hashem. There is the mountain of the house of Hashem. V'tel shekol piyos olav poinim. That's the mountain that all mouths turn whenever anyone davens. Their tefillos are directed toward Yerushalayim. V'loy zaza shechina mikoysel maravi. The shechina, even to this day, has not departed from the Kaisel.
Why they chose the western wall, not neither the southeast, north?
There's an idea in general that the Shechina is b'ma'arav. In general, Hashem's Shechina is on the west side. So this was the west side of the Beis HaMikdash that had the most concentration. Also, you know, the way the Beis HaMikdash was situated, you had the Azara, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was right next to the Kosel, right next to the western wall. So that was the place where Hashem's Shechina was most concentrated. What's closest to? Okay? Says Chassam Sofer, V'hine l'gamri zem mikarov mea shanim. This has already been 100 years. Samu p'neihem l'tzvas. Everyone turns to tzvas. Everyone's busy with tzvas. Ki sham kavar yishaliki Reb Shem Bar Yochai. That's where Reb Shem Bar Yochai is buried. B'meiron. And who else is buried in tzvas? V'ari b'tzvas. V'chol ha'olam Eretz Yisrael. And anyone who goes up to Eretz Yisrael. Now, it wasn't a common thing to go up to Eretz Yisrael in the 1700s, the 1800s. But anyone who would go... Why some with Pneum, El Tzvas? Only go to. Nobody goes to Yerushalayim, they all go to Tzvas. The Tiberia. Yerushalayim Nishkacha Lagamri. Yerushalayim is completely forgotten. How could that be? Who ear Shem Hashem Shema? It's the city of God. Shegam, listen to what he says. Even nowadays, Chassam Sofer says there's a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. If someone goes to Yerushalayim on one of the three regalim, gets a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Shegam Bezman Hazeh, even today, according to Chassam Sofer, mitzvah lalos laregel Yerushalayim. There's a mitzvah to go be olei regel in Yerushalayim, and this is also, he says, the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov Emden v'hochiach b'shelas yavitz. Right? Remember why he calls it shin yud lamed tav? Normally, when you say somebody's tshuva svarim, you say she'elas shin aleph yud lamed tav. Here, but he calls the she'elas yavitz shin yud lamed tav. Why? She'elas also could stand for shivisi Hashem. Lenegdi Tamid. He's giving the Rav Yaakov Emden a compliment that he's a big tzaddik, right? That's what we heard? Yeah, from Dr. Lyman. Voisam ish alev. Nobody pays attention to it. Ela lalos l'tzvas. Everyone's just interested in going up to tzvas. L'hilula d'Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Let's skip a little bit. Go down to the sixth line from the bottom. First word on the line is v'lakach. See where it says in the middle? V'yakopanim lo yadati ma'amokam l'hilula. How can you just make a celebration on Lag BaOmer, the Lazav is Yerushalayim, and forsake Yerushalayim, ad hachema ima, ba'amaseinu rabim, and bring the wrath of the Ribbono Shel Olam? So what happened? The Tzadik Hashem, he quotes the pasuk, God is righteous, hamabit la'aretz, who looks to the earth, va'tirad, and he shakes it. The earthquake was a result of the jealousy of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was jealous, the Kala was jealous of somebody stealing her chasan. She causes the earthquake.
But according to what he's saying, then you really, when you go to Eretz Yisrael or whatever, you know, you should only go to Yerushalayim. You should see the rest of the country, though. You should go straight to Yerushalayim and stay there, which most people end up doing anyway, for the most part. But you really shouldn't go to Tzfas. You really shouldn't go, let's say, to Masada, to Tiberi, to Amuka, to Meron, to whatever. You should stay in Yerushalayim.
Look, you know, if you give your kala enough time, enough presence, you know.
No, I'm just saying, but according to that, then really there's no other thing that's viable. It's only Yerushalayim and going to the Kotel, really.
Is there a...
I mean, that's what he's saying, though.
He's saying, you know, Yerushalayim is completely forsaken for hundreds of years. No one stepped foot in it. So then, you know, the kala gets jealous. If you leave a normal, healthy life, a husband and wife, you know, they're not together all day. If the wife sees that you're faithful to her, so she doesn't get nervous when you venture out a little bit, you know?
yeah. Maybe in those years, because Yerushalayim was such a... there was such a korban there. I mean, that nobody was even...
It was really...
Arabs, you know, people lived elsewhere, so it was more...
He says for hundreds of years, it's completely forlorn, you know? Yeah.
Is there any... definition to the words Tzfat and Tver, because Yerushalayim comes from the Torah, it says Yerushalayim, yeah. They have some meaning. Neighbor comes, children of Brago, whatever, you know, Tzfat. I try to break the shores, I don't know where it's coming from.
It doesn't say Tzfat anywhere in Tanakh, it doesn't say that, those words.
Just in the Gemara.
In the Gemara, maybe.
Yeah, it's just really funny.
One time we'll have to have a shir on this whole... There's a big debate between the Mekubalim and others. What was the holy city in Yerushalayim? Many maintained it was Tzfas. The Mekubalim were very strong. The Chassam Sefer quotes the Chesed LeAvram. The Chesed Avram is no slouch. Chesed Avram is the grandfather of the Chida. He writes, Tzfas is a holy city in Eretz Yisrael. Chassam Sefer had a very big debate with him about this. And it's part of the whole Smicha controversy in the 1500s. You know... In order to kill someone who violates, in order for a Jewish court, to give capital punishment, they have to have direct smicha dating back all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu. But the thing is, the line stopped, right? It stopped. So, but in the 1500s, the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Barav, wanted to reinstitute it. How could you reinstitute it? The chain has been broken. And he brought different rayas from the Rambam, that if most of the Chachmei Yisrael are together in one place, you could reinstate it. And the Gedolim in Yerushalayim said, but you have to be in Yerushalayim. He said, no, Tzfas is also good. So there's a whole big debate. And they did reinstate the Smicha, and they gave Smicha to the Beis Yosef and the Alshech, and they wanted to give capital punishment. Now, why did they want to give capital punishment? What, they wanted to kill people? They were having rachmanis on people. Again, this is in the 1500s. This is in the wake of the Spanish Inquisition, 1492. Many Jews had just returned from Spain, and they were so depressed and downtrodden because they felt that since they had to commit certain averos under Spanish rule, they felt they couldn't come close to Hashem. They felt they were chayiv kares. They had to violate certain Shabbos and other, and maybe Hilchos Nida. They felt they were doomed. They couldn't have any relationship with Hashem. They're chayiv kares. But the halacha in Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam is, if you get malchus, it patters you from kares. So they wanted the courts to be able to whip them. The only thing is, a court can't whip unless they have a smicha. So they wanted to reinstitute the smicha to be able to whip these guys so that they could come close to Ribbono Shel'olam. That was the main cause of it. Okay. Let's do another Chassam Sefer. Another Chassam Sefer. You know, it was the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and we read Megillas Rus. And in Megillas Rus, where is Bayaz hanging out all the time? In the Beis Medrash? No. No, it doesn't say one time he learned one word, right? He's always in the fields. He's in the threshing floor. He's sleeping in the threshing floor. I mean, go get sleep in your bed so you could learn something next day. Imagine if you'd hear about the big Gadol Yisrael, he's in the fields all day. See? What are you doing? It's Bittul Torah. Go into the Beis Medrash, learn something. Bayaz was the Gadol Adar. He's working the whole day. Says Chassam Sofer.
How was he Gadol Adar if he worked all day?
Ah, says Chassam Sofer. When you have a question, hey, why is that Gadol putting on tefillin? You should be learning. No, because even though learning is the most important mitzvah, but you have to put on tefillin. So Bayaz was also doing a mitzvah. What was the mitzvah? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to work the land. It's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's what Boaz, it was the threshing season. It was a season of harvest. He was being mekayim the same way you have to put on tefillin. He was being mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Look at this. Look at the Chassam Sofer in number 12. Look on the third line. Sheho avoida bekarka gufa. Working the land. Mitzvah is a mitzvah. Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Ulehotzi perosei hakadoshim. To bring out, to bring forth the holy fruits of Eretz Yisrael is a tremendous mitzvah. V'alzet sivsa ha-Torah. This the Torah commands. V'alsafta digonecha. You should gather your grain. Uboaz zore goren hasorim halayla. Boaz was winnowing, threshing the barley that night. Mishum mitzvah. Boaz was doing a mitzvah. He wasn't just working to make money. He was doing a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Uki'ilu tomer. That's like saying, lo aniach tefillin. I'm not going to put on tefillin. Mimei shani osik b'torah because I'm learning. Just because you're learning, you have to do other mitzvahs. So he learned. But he was doing the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Hachanami, so too. Lo yomar. You can't say, lo esof degani. I'm not going to gather my grain. Mimei isek ha-torah because I'm busy learning Torah. So you see the Chassam Sofer in many, many places. You see his great love for Eretz Yisrael, his great love for especially Yerushalayim in particular. Just a halacha that we mentioned in the morning here. We were learning about Hilchos Tachnon. So the minog is, the Rama brings down an opinion that you only put your head down to say Tachnon if you have a Sefer Torah. If you don't have a Sefer Torah, even if you have a minion, even if it's a steady minion, you know, you go to Gift World, you say Tachnon at 3:30, you don't put your head down. Why? Because it says regarding putting your head down, Vayipal al panav lefnei aroin Hashem. He fell on his face before the aron. So we learn from there that you only put your head down when there's an aron. Because when there's an aron, it's called lefnei Hashem. However, go to Yerushalayim today, even if you don't have an aron, even if you don't have a Sefer Torah, they put their head down. Why? So this comes from the Minhagim. There's a Sefer called Sefer Eretz Yisrael. It was written by Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky. He was one of the Gdolei Yisrael who lived in the times of the Chazon Ish. And one of the great controversies that he offered his opinion on was the international dateline controversy. You know, you want to know when Shabbos in Hawaii or Japan, or you don't know where the dateline is. So there's a big argument between the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Chiel Michal Tukachinsky. So anyway, he writes that in Yerushalayim, you don't need to have a Sefer Torah. You know why? Because why do you need a Sefer Torah? Because you can only say Tachnon Lifnei Hashem. Yerushalayim is Lifnei Hashem. And the poskim say that's only in the Old City. But you see also the same idea that Yerushalayim even today...
Only the Old City, not the New One.
Not the New One. Only the Old City.
I thought Yerushalayim is the Old
City. Well, let's say regarding laws of Ma'is Hasheni, you have to bring it within the walls of the Old City. Actually, Rav Kook held the whole Yerushalayim is considered Yerushalayim regarding being able to put your head down, even if you don't have a Sefer Torah, but most poskim don't agree with that. But let's read this inside. Yerushalayim, noagin nefilas apayim, Yerushalayim, the minhag is to put your head down. Gam bebayis she'ein sham Sefer Torah. Even in a house that doesn't have a Sefer Torah, gam kishein sham makom kavua letfila, even though there's no steady place for davening. This that we have a custom to put your head down, rak b'makom shiyesh sefer Torah, only in a place where there's a sefer Torah. Zehu al smach haremes. This is relying on the hint, the kasa b'kra that it says in the pasuk. Vayipol al panav arzel lefnei aron Hashem. He fell on his face to the ground before the aron. V'Yerushalayim shekedushas kedushas olam. In Yerushalayim, that its holiness is forever. Harehi klefnei aron Hashem. It's like you're before Hashem. It's like before Hashem. We'll just close with one of the unbelievable Chassam Sofer. You know, God promises the Jews are being exiled from Eretz Yisrael, and we know Rachel mevaka al baneha. Rachel is crying for her children. So Hashem tells Rachel, don't cry, don't cry. Now Abraham tried to daven to Hashem, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. Nobody was successful in gaining Hashem's mercy until Hashem promises Rachel, don't worry, yesh sachar lefulasech, you're going to be rewarded. V'shavu banim l'gulam, the Jews will return to Eretz Yisrael. A special promise that Hashem promised Rachel, the Jews will return to Eretz Yisrael. Question is, what do you mean a special promise Hashem promised Rachel? Every Navi who ever lived was promised that the Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. That's the common theme of all Nevi'im. That one day, Mashiach will come, and the Jewish people will return to Eretz Yisrael. What is so special about the prophecy of Rachel? V'shavu banim l'gvulam. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, it says that one day Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael. What's special about the Nevuah of Rachel? Says the Chassam Sofer. All the other prophets were promised that when Mashiach comes, Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael. Rachel's promise was different. Rachel's promise was that even before Mashiach comes, even before the Gula Shlema, the Jewish people will have the opportunity to return to Eretz Yisrael, and through that they'll do tshuva, and thereby eventually the Gula Shlema will come. So, but only Chassam Sofer says if we have that connection, the Ahava to Eretz Yisrael, that Loi Omer Adam Tzali Amakom, not that it wasn't cramped, it was cramped, but they couldn't bring themselves to complain because of their tremendous Ahava. Akop Shoyim Techas Ahava, they had so much love for it that they did not see any fault, they couldn't even hear any fault about it, and it was that deep connection that they didn't have in the times of Meraglim, but eventually, hopefully, we should engender the feelings toward Yerushalayim, and then Ribbono Shel Olam should return us. Sechazen Reinenu B'Shulchot Tzion B'Rachamim.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.